Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? ZipRecruiter has revolutionized how you do it. Their technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. They find great candidates for you. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Android. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/Android. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 366, recorded on Tuesday, April 24th, 2018, where we weekly source the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. And we're all here today. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Yes.
Yay!
It's good to be back.
Yes.
United.
I know. I feel like this happens so rarely these days. Always missing each other. Well, it's not just you. We're all having busy lives right now.
Busy people.
That's good.
To be fair, we've kind of been, it's been quiet.
Well.
We haven't exactly, you know, it's like, well, okay.
That changes today.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not quiet today.
Exactly, which is what I meant to segue to.
Sorry, I beat you
to
the punch.
No, you did. It was perfect.
We have joining us for the first time, but from a site that we have on the show all the time, from 9to5google.com, it's Ben Schoen. How's it going, Ben?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing awesome. It's great to get you here. We have a lot of your articles on, and you know, week after week, I always see your byline. I'm like, all right, obviously we have to get Ben on at some point.
Yes.
So we're really, really excited to bring you on today. Today's no different because you've been busy. This has been kind of a big week for you news-wise, it seems like.
Yeah, it's been a busy past couple weeks with a lot of the stuff going on in the background of all the Android apps.
Well, yeah, and I mean, as obviously I'm imagining, this is all fuel that's going to be kind of lit aflame at Google I.O. here in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be lit.
You like that? It's going
to
be lit.
It's going to be lit because that blacktop in Mountain View is going to be hot. That's why.
It's going to be hot.
That's why it's going to be
walk
lit.
With bare feet on that blacktop.
Yeah.
which, you know, really, if you're going to a developer conference, it's best to not walk with bare feet, just as a general rule. Ben, will you be attending Google I.O. this year?
Unfortunately not. No. Steven and Abner will be there for 9to5.
Oh man, they couldn't just give you guys one more pass.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Somebody go tell them, please.
I think we are right now. So if anyone who actually could do something about it is listening or watching, you know, reach out to Ben or me or all of us. We'll make sure that Ben gets a ticket. Have you been before? Have you been able to
go out there yet? Oh, I very much want to though.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun. I hope you get your chance to do that one of these days. So we're going to be discussing some pretty interesting news about material design.
Pretty interesting indeed.
We've talked a little bit about material design changes in the past, probably much of that sourced, you know, through 9to5 Google. But we've got even more information, like stacks of information as far as what to expect out of the new version
material
of material
stacks.
Design. Yes. Google's next chat obsession. See what I did there? Ugh. Motorola's low and mid-range lineup. LG's G7 Think, or is it ThinQ?
It's ThinQ.
Is it ThinQ?
Yeah.
Event. Google Play Award nominees, because we are close to Google I.O. Your emails, and a whole lot more. It's time, Victor, that I don't want to, you know, take this from you. I don't want to remove the opportunity for you to deliver us the news.
If All About Android was a filled cupcake, it'll be filled with Android news.
Right in the center. You just twist and lick.
And the cake would be funfetti.
Twist and lick to get to the news center.
So tune in to the end of the episode to see the results of that filled cupcake Oreo.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You don't want to miss
Very
it.
Very jealous. But you don't want to miss this latest news in the Android world. And I got to say, it's funny because when things break in the Android world, I like to play a little game all by myself. I don't involve anyone else. But I try to guess who's going to get assigned the story. And when
Did you think you were going to get this one?
Yeah, when I saw all the news about Google and messaging and Android, I was like, oh boy, I'm going to get to rant about messaging. Longtime listeners and viewers of the show know that the state of messaging is something that irks me on a daily basis. SMS and MMS are dead protocols as far as I'm concerned, and I hate the walls that have been built around operating systems and their messaging platforms. I just want open and free messaging that works and is current and cutting edge to the days that we live in, not the 80s, like when SMS was invented. Well, apparently Google agrees with me because they just keep swinging that bat at the pinata, but sooner or later they're going to hit it, I think. So news broke a couple of days ago that basically we can say goodbye to Allo for now and hello chat, according to these rumors. So chat is not a new app from Google, but rather a flavor of RCS and hopefully – a deal with carriers to support it. So what these rumors are saying is that Allo development is on pause and the team is working with chat and it's going to be using the Rich Communication Services, RCS, which we talked about before in the past.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it adds IM features to carrier messaging, such as user presence, so you can see so-and-so is typing. You get read receipts, location sharing, that kind of enhanced additional stuff that you get from like a WhatsApp or a iMessage or, you know, that sort of thing. There are different flavors of RCS and carriers like to have their own. And it seems that the carriers are actually being slow to support RCS, which is true. We've totally seen that. Google wants them all to adopt Google's flavor called chat. And on Android, this happens right now via Android messages, but that could be rebranded to chat. If only they had some sort of developer conference coming up soon where they could announce something. Also, Samsung's messaging app will support chat. And with carrier support, messaging woes on Android could be a thing of the past. But it's important to note that if you are friends with people who use iOS phones, like iPhones and the things like that, iMessage is not RCS capable at the moment, though, which would result in text-only messaging with iPhone users. No end-to-end encryption, though, like SMS, but without, but unlike most messaging apps, you know, something like WhatsApp or whatnot, it does have end-to-end encryption.
Or
Allo. Or Telegram or the other ones that are go really close down the encryption mode. It will have a web client, thank God, but in the QR code sort of way, and that you sync it up with your to your phone, which I'm fine with that, by the way. Just we'll get to that more. But basically, this is just another chapter in Google's ongoing attempts to try with messaging. But they've always depended on people sharing their app, whether it was Allo or whatever flavor it would be. This could be a way around it by instead of providing the one messaging app to rule them all, it's really pushing a future forward protocol that other apps can plug into. Ben, what do you think? Is this attempt going to be successful?
I hope it's successful, but it seems tough to rely on carriers to do that. It's probably the best bet they've had so far, though.
Yeah, I guess that's the big question is what kind of success is Google going to have when you're going the carrier route? If all the carriers have a vested interest in having their own, you know, their own standard, their own flavor of RCS, how successful is Google already? Like maybe they've already made these relationships and discussions, but how successful will they be in saying, no, this is what you need to do? Apparently they've got Samsung on board, like you said, Ron. So, I mean, that's a big deal. All Samsung phones, you know, whether they have Android messages installed or not, will have Samsung's messaging app installed, and those will support the new chat protocol. So that's a lot of users right out of the gate. And that's what Google really needs, right? In order to get messaging improved on the Android platform.
Well, and it's so this all comes. I'm okay. Lots to unpack here. I'm not surprised this is happening because, as we know, I think it's over a year ago. But Google acquired Jibe, which was an RCS messaging platform. So it's clear that this is the development of what they got from acquiring Jibe, right? Mm-hmm. I think after the latest, I don't want to say fail, but the latest attempt with Allo, I think that they learned very strongly what worked and what didn't work and what it's going to take. And it proved the bet that Jibe was the right acquisition to do and that they got to move in the protocol standpoint, in the protocol direction. Mm-hmm. Just recently, I've continued to have difficulties with my friends and family and things like that. SMS and MMS are such a dead protocol. And if you know, despite iMessage not being RCS standard, if Google can lay the groundwork and do the negotiation with the carriers, do the negotiation with the Samsung and the other Android OEMs, which, you know, they'll fall in line, you get a mass amount of people, that forces Apple to respond, hopefully. I don't know. It forces Apple to say, okay, we'll support RCS. We, you know, we can all agree to it and we can stop these messaging wars. I'm being optimistic on this one, Flo. Do you disagree?
I don't think it's going to force Apple to do anything, quite frankly. Yeah. It took them a long time just to adopt USB 3.
Are they incented to? Is there really incentive for Apple to be like, sure?
They have their own servers for iMessage, and it works perfectly fine for their users. And I, you know, my friends can talk to me when there are planes. I just can't talk to them, and that's fine for them.
Right?
Like, they're okay with it. All right, we know how this works. Also, I just want to add a note that RCS, all the American carriers are on board except for Verizon.
Okay.
So, to anybody who's on Verizon, you might know if you buy a phone from Verizon, it comes with Verizon messages, which is a whole other thing in of its own.
Yeah. I mean, even I don't know if this chart is supposedly showing who's on board, but even there, Verizon's listed. But so maybe they are.
I mean, maybe Verizon's on board with Google Chat.
Yeah.
This particular standard.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, to that perspective, like, yeah, this could be kind of a big deal. It's easy to see, it's easy to read this and go where we always go with the discussion of messaging and Google, which is, oh, here we go again. Google's got a new thing, blah, blah, blah. But the reason we keep bringing it up and it keeps staying in this discussion and keeps being tackled by Google is because it's really dang important for them to get it right. And they haven't been able to do that. I mean, kind of going to the source of the problem as opposed to expecting that they can release an app that everybody's going to suddenly magically abandon the thing they're used to using that they've been using for years to then use this and all the people that they know are going to do the same. Like, that's a really tall order.
The problem is Allo is supposed to be a WhatsApp competitor, which is a really bad idea because you're basically going against a very established network that also, like, is now owned by Facebook.
Yeah,
so there's and Facebook has got that corner of the market, obviously, down
and
its own way.
The international implications of WhatsApp alone are just, you
exactly.
know,
mad,
right now.
And to expect that all of us would just, like, come running over to Allo, like, I use it with a very small network. I use it with you guys, and I use it with my husband, and that's about it.
Yeah, it's almost like we use
which
it
which is fine because, like, we talk about the podcast, know, off hours, and then my husband and I, we talk about groceries, which is fine, but, like, the Android Messages app is still awful. I'm sorry. It is not. It is slow to load. I want to be able to keep all of my logs and not have it take forever to load. Like, MMS doesn't always come through when it's supposed to.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Sometimes messages aren't marked as read after I've, like, popped into them. It you know, the GIF integration, I just want to be able to, like, easily drop in a GIF into a message and have it feel like a normal part of the conversation and not some, like...
Well, it's amazing because, you know, so my in-laws all are iPhones and I've kind of mentioned, oh, we could all move to WhatsApp because I've got my whole family on WhatsApp and a lot of my friends on WhatsApp. And the difference is startling. Going from a group text, you know, text grouping where message come in delayed, they're wait, who said what? Did you do it? People don't get messages. It's so much confusing. Yeah. And then I go over to my side of the family and we're all on WhatsApp and we're in little groups and messages all go through. It shows me when someone's read my message. They can see when I've read theirs. Like, it just works. And it proves that a data-driven messaging platform is the future. It's just I just hope that Google has the clout to get the carriers to get on board and that we can inch closer to it. And if iOS doesn't play along, fine, I'll deal with it. I'm sure they'll have, you know, some backward compatibility or a way to go fall back to SMS or whatnot. But, like, if we can get the whole our side of the room to be working on RCS, I think that's a win.
Yeah. I mean, actually, when you put it that way, it's the exact same thing that iOS users have. All their side have that, and there is no interconnectivity with the other part of the world other than a green bubble on what they get when they extend outside of that iOS kind of network.
Yep.
So it'd be the same thing. Sure, you do it. We could do it too. Whatever.
Just consolidate it. Just consolidate it and make it easy.
Yeah.
Just put the Allo UI, which is honestly why I like using it, because it's just quick and easy and it just looks nice and it's pretty and it's cute. Mm-hmm. And then put all of the functionality of Android Messages in there or Google Chat or whatever. Perfect. Done. Finished.
Lickety split.
I solved all your problems right there.
Now, maybe we should jump into the future of Android design. Because I'm a little interested in where this is headed.
That's going to be a really big part of, I mean, I assume it's going to be a really big part of Google I.O. this year. So we are starting to see a lot of new material design touches. Ben, you've written a lot about it, which we are going to pick your brain in just a second. But first, just kind of run through what's been going on the internet, if you haven't been paying attention, which is what we're here for. The Google Play Store right now has an almost, or rather, Ben did an APK insight, and the Google Play Store had an almost full white UI. The Play Services account settings has been revamped. The Google Feed is also testing a new design that's super bubbly with lots of white, empty space. The Google app is also testing Material Design 2 with a bottom bar redesign, which is already scaring me because I'm just so tired of all these, like, I have to change where I'm looking at the block. To change where I'm, like, really?
Chrome has sent me for a loop with the bottom bar.
That's a true point. The Google account settings and the Play Services are also seeing a new design. So, Ben, let's just toss it to you. What does it all mean?
What is the meaning of life, Ben?
What is the meaning of life as is a material design?
Too? Throwing it all on me. Throwing it all on me. My first appearance and everything.
Solve all of our problems, yeah. Ben.
So, it looks like Google's revamping material design. We've heard it called Material Design 2. Obviously, that's probably not the final name for it, but that's kind of looks like what we're getting is just a complete revamp to Material Design that introduces a lot of new things. And a lot of what we've been seeing are all white UIs, which a lot of people on Reddit absolutely despise.
Yes.
And a lot of bottom bars. Personally, I've liked almost everything we've seen that's changed, but it's controversial for sure. I know we found a lot recently just digging through the Google app and the Play Store, enabling things in the background that aren't live for everybody just yet. But it shows a lot of promise, and I think we're going to see a lot of it at I.O.
Yeah, I mean, that's where every year they've kind of, well, not every year, but definitely the first year where they really kind of introduce the idea behind material design, kind of standards to follow. I think shortly after I.O., they actually released the documentation that spelled it out, and then ever since they've been updating it. So we're probably going to get some sort of a big update to the design standards for designers and developers to follow going forward, based on what you're talking about, having a lot more of those kind of those design elements down towards the bottom. Anytime I've seen that, like, I guess I kind of get used to it, but it gets a little confusing because it's the stacked row. You've got the navigation buttons on the very bottom, and then you've got like the navigation of the app buttons, you know, the different sections right next to it. And for whatever reason, that just doesn't work with my brain. But I don't know how I feel about it.
Maybe it'll work better with the gesture navigation that we're getting.
Okay, so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Because my ears just perked.
Obviously, we did more about that last week. We had the renders that we put out with a tipster who told us how the gesture-based navigation is going to work, which is a tap to go home. I think if I recall, we'll have a swipe to get to the recents and the contextual back button. So maybe that'll make more sense with all these bottom bars. Personally, I'm good with it either way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a really good point. If they're tweaking the navigation, that might help. However, Android's a big, big place, and there are the Pixel phones that follow Google's true idea of how that all works with its own gesture, navigation, blah, blah, blah. And then there's everybody else that is, you know, I hate to say the word stuck, but, you know, they are behind what Google is kind of setting as the new direction. And so, you know, that might work with one element, but it might not work with another element. But
you know, it's fine. It's really fine.
Ultimately,
we really shouldn't freak out. Actually, I'm just looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Excuse me, and I'm just thinking, you know what? That's not a big deal. Because in fact, like all the devices that I've been testing lately for work, you know, they all come with companion apps, and those companion apps practice a lot of these same UIs. Layout standards. Mm-hmm. It's putting the navigation at the bottom. I think it's a possibility. Wait, I can't speak to that yet, actually. Hey, do you remember from your iPhone days?
Oh, way back when.
Was there a lot of navigation on the bottom?
Let me think here.
Because I'm trying to think if this is a subtle ploy to be like, hey, you see something very familiar here, don't you?
Oh.
Yes.
You know, I can't, gosh, I don't know if it wasn't or if I just can't remember. I could have just put my iOS days, you know, as far out of my memory as possible.
You just compartmentalized it.
Yeah.
You are a strong person.
I moved on.
You tried to do a show.
What January? I don't know what January is that you speak of. I do know that on iOS, the back button is always like, ends up in the top left-hand corner,
okay,
separated from everything else. I never got used to that.
No, it's not okay. Anyway, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fine. It's very it's subtle, right? Right, Ben?
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Why not?
Validate my fears.
Thank you. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll find out more about that at Google I.O.
I think generally they did so well with Material Design First. I'm open to see what the new stuff will be. I trust them.
Yeah. Yeah, they had really good there was good intention behind the ways that they changed to Material Design. They actually had it was almost like this theoretical journey.
Do you remember?
Following like their unveiling why Material Design was Material Design.
It was just like so beautiful when we first like got it. And it was like, oh my God, it's organized.
It's like a piece of cardboard floating on top of a texture.
A colorful piece of cardboard with texture. It was so, I want that feeling back.
They'll dazzle again. Just you
I
wait
certainly hope so, because I really need a dose of that in my life right now.
Is this dazzling? A source to droid life. This is almost break. Now, you know what? Do you happen to have breaking news?
Yeah.
Because if there is one, this really was it. It broke right before showtime. It's time for some breaking news. You did it. Thank you, Victor. A source to droid life said shortly before showtime that Google Play Music isn't long for this world. What?
God, where did this come from?
What?
It's because of our episode.
Totally because of us. Which is not to say that it's going away entirely, just to say that it's going to be replaced by the new YouTube Music platform that we keep hearing about. This new service would be based placing more emphasis around things like recommendations, smarter playlists, time of day recommendations, which, by the way, all those things exist in Play Music currently. But I would imagine YouTube is the bigger brand, has the bigger brand profile.
It's the millennials, guys. I hate to say it.
And if you are a Play Music subscriber, supposedly, according to these rumors, there will be forced adoption for current Play users by the end of
the
year.
They're forcing adoption.
That's a good question. JJ in the chat room asked the question that just suddenly shook my world to
its
core.
Well, you guys on Spotify.
And that is, what about your library on Play Music, the library that you uploaded, and I live off of that library.
There it goes.
What is going to happen to my world?
Bye, bye, bye. Famous NSYNC song.
I don't know.
I didn't think about that.
I didn't either. Yeah. That's a big deal.
That's a big, big deal.
Oh, my goodness.
You guys are worried.
I am. Because
I'm a terrible person. I have no music
anymore.
That's
like one of the best things about Play Music is that anything that you don't have that they don't have, you can just have it.
I have bootlegs. I have old records. I have old set recordings of 7 inches.
I wonder if there'll be limitations because of rights.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that YouTube would have more rights than Google. Just putting it out there because it's like embedded right there in with the rest of the entertainment industry. So I mean, if your band's got a Vimeo, you're probably fine.
If your band's got a Vimeo. Your band got a Vimeo? Good.
You're good.
Oh, jeez.
Ben, what music service do you use? Are you on the Play Music, and does this shake your world to its core?
I'm on Spotify, so it doesn't really affect me, but I'm really interested to see what they do with this because I got kind of excited to see what this YouTube service would be when they were talking about it at South by Southwest with combining the best of YouTube and Google Play Music because... Honestly, Google Play Music is still way better at finding music that I haven't heard yet that I like every time I've used it.
Because of that Google search algorithm.
Yeah, no, really. So I'm really excited to see what this is when it does come out.
All right, so if they were teasing it as the best of both worlds, I have to imagine.
Yeah.
Please tell me that by best Google Play Music, best feature actually makes it over, please. And if that doesn't happen, there's no truth in advertising.
It's a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how I feel now. Ron, take away for you.
Let's quickly do an email. Very quickly. Craig from Melbourne, Australia.
Melbourne.
Did I say that right? Melbourne. Craig says, thanks for the great shows. I've been listening every week for the past 3 years. Thank you, Craig. I appreciate it. Was just wondering why Huawei and ZTE get a bad rap from the U.S. government, but you never hear anything about Xiaomi products being banned. And this is related to our discussion last week about ZTE getting slapped and pretty much banned from being able to use U.S. products, eliminating them from being able to use Qualcomm and things like that. We were talking about that last week. Feel free to correct me, guys, or chime me in. But as far as I know, Xiaomi hasn't broken any trade agreements with countries that the U.S. government doesn't like, which is what happened with ZTE, where they tracked back. They were doing stuff with other countries where there are sanctions and things like that, causing more of a geopolitical issue and less about an economic selling things in the U.S., which has been the concern about Xiaomi up to this point. Also, Xiaomi isn't selling phones in the U.S. yet.
Yeah.
They're just selling accessories.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yep.
That's kind of exactly where my mind was at, is that they really haven't, you know, and for years, as we've been talking and following Xiaomi, it's always been the when are they going to bring their phones to the U.S.? Oh, but when they do, they're going to get the smackdown, you know, from a copyright standpoint. Although I feel like they've kind of moved their design away from those waters a little bit. There was a time a few years ago where they were making very familiar looking products. And now they're doing their own thing. Now they're doing their own thing.
Very much so. Yeah.
And they're doing it really well. So I would love to see their devices in the US, but that does not mean that they won't encounter resistance if and when they decide to do it, because so far it's, you know, the track record for these Chinese hardware companies it's not looking good right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Ben? Have you had a chance to mess around with any of the Xiaomi phones? What's your thoughts on those?
Yeah, you know, I rarely get a chance to play with them. The last one I got was the Mi Mix back at CES, but
okay. I never got to see that one in person, I don't think.
It was the first bezel-less one.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wish they would come here because their phones look great. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have even harder time than Huawei does, because Huawei can't get any brand recognition and the US shut them down. And Xiaomi is going to probably run into that same problem, and they sound even more Chinese. So no one's going to buy their stuff if they do come here.
Right, right. There's almost that immediate brand.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yep.
So that's probably why, Craig. See, we solved your problem.
It was
your problem. It's Xiaomi's problem, to be honest. All right, so we are going to get into some hardware news in a second, but before we do, we want to thank the sponsor of this episode of All About Android, and that is ZipRecruiter. If you are hiring, you're running a business, you're hiring, you need to find the right people, then you know what this is all about. Every business needs great people and a better way to find them. It's really not that easy through normal avenues to find all the good people that are on the internet, of which there are tons. You just have to find where they are. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it, hoping that they happen to come across your posting. ZipRecruiter knew that there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and then invites them to apply for your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. It's almost like you have someone working for you, and that someone is ZipRecruiter. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one single day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications that you do receive, so you never miss a great match. It helps with the filtering to find the very best of the very best. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Android. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Android. And one more time, because it's so fun to say, ZipRecruiter.com/Android. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support of All About Android. All right, it's time to jump in. We're going to dive in to the hardware news. Thank you for not making me dive alone, Flo.
I did it. Yeah, I did it too. It was off camera. Just want you all to know. What we are going to dive into is last week's Motorola announcements, which took place in Brazil, by the way, which is exciting. And also, I think, a testament to the fact that Motorola is still doing pretty dang well in the country of Brazil. So, last week, new Moto Gs and Es announced. Moto G G6 Play is the first one. That is $250. Octa-core Snapdragon 450, 3 gigs and 32 gigabytes of space, or 4 gigs and 64 gigabytes of space. Micro SD card, 5.7-inch full HD LCD display, dual 12-megapixel, 5-megapixel.
Ooh.
A rear-facing camera. I'm running out of, like,
yeah, I know. My apologies. I'm looking at this wall of specs. I apologize. Don't feel it.
8-megapixel front-facing camera, 3,000 milliamp battery, and Oreo. The G6 Play will be $200. It'll be a lower-end version of the G6 with a quad-core Snapdragon 427, 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, or 3 gigs / 32 gigs of storage. Oh,
yeah, some
okay.
Options.
All right. 4,000 milliamp battery and a single 13 megapixel rear facing camera.
It's a nice large battery.
Yes, it is. So nice. Just to kind of wrap up the G6s, we've got pretty relatively mid-range specs on there. A couple of variances depending on your needs, depending on your price point if you want to save $50. But just kind of just do it. Just see if you can scrounge for that $50 somewhere.
Yeah, always. If there's a $50
difference,
you might as well.
Just look in the couch if you can. Moto E5 Plus and E5 Play were also announced. The E5 Plus has an octa-core Snapdragon 435, 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of space, micro SD, expansion slot, 5,000 milliamp battery pack.
Nice.
So that's a big one. 6-inch HD Plus LCD display, 12-megapixel rear-facing camera, 8-megapixel front-facing camera, and Oreo. No price yet, unfortunately. And the E5 Play is the lower-end version of the E5 Plus with a quad-core Snapdragon 425 or 427 and 2 gigs of RAM with 16 gigs of storage, 2,800 milliamp battery pack. That's significantly smaller than the E5 Plus.
Yeah.
okay. 5.2-inch HD LCD and 8-megapixel rear-facing camera and 5-megapixel front-facing camera. So those are the specs on your mid- to low-end phones that you can buy for Motorola coming soon at a theater near you.
Oh, wow. They're going to start selling them in movie theaters.
Yes. Well, you know, in this economy, we got to find any way to get people to the movies. And you know.
That's true. Free with a movie pass.
A Motorola. Oh, there's an idea for you.
Yeah. Not bad. It's got some options.
Not bad.
And, I mean, options within options. So that's great for the lower cost devices, especially, you know, not everybody can find $50 in the couch.
True. And you've got to, I mean, if you were going to be Motorola and make your money off of your bread and butter off of this, you might as well offer a spectrum of options as much as your manufacturing line can manage it.
Yeah.
So very practical.
In other hardware news, well, unless does anyone else
does anybody comment?
Do we motion to move on from Motorola?
Move on from Motorola.
I don't know how much more that there is to say about it. But I'm curious about this one. I know this is discussion worthy here, particularly because we've talked a lot about the Bixby button in the past, and you know it's seen a lot. It's drawn a lot of ire from some people on this show. But LG has its G7 ThinQ. I want to call it Think, but it's not. It's ThinQ. Is scheduled to be shown off apparently at an event on May 2nd in New York. And of course, ahead of that event, we're finding out more and more about this phone. Details are leaking out, according to those people who happen to be familiar with the matter. They say that this device and renders that were leaked by EvLeaks, I think tend to support this, that it's going to have its own dedicated Google Assistant button on the left side of the device. And much like the Bixby button, you cannot reassign the button. So, Ben, obviously, like I played around with the Samsung. Oh, hey, IS.
Hey, it's
nice to know your face. I played around with the Samsung devices with the Bixby button, and quite frankly, I disabled them because anytime they ever went off, it was accidental. It happened in my pocket, whatever. I disabled them. However, I would have, you know, maybe considered assigning that to Google Assistant if they let me, but I don't think they let you. They just tell you you can either turn it on or turn it off. Do you think having it tied to Google Assistant changes it? Like, yes. Will this be perceived differently, Ben? What do you think?
It's going to be a lot less annoying. I love the squeeze gesture on the Pixel to get to Google Assistant. It's very convenient. Yeah. Having a button on the G7 ThinQ, which is still a terrible name, I think it'll be good. I just hope there's still an option to disable it because it might get annoying because of the placement, which looks like it's still underneath the volume rocker, which is just a really bad, bad spot. It's cool to see this happening because we actually found icons in the Google app a few weeks back that supported that this was happening.
Oh, okay. Like icons that were tied to the actual button?
Yeah, like almost a tutorial icon that would show you, hey, you can press this to get to the assistant.
Okay.
Or you can change it, right? Right.
Hopefully. No.
It's LG. They'll probably do that, and then they'll say, look, unlike Samsung, you can change the button on your LG phone.
This is a multi-purpose button. Yeah. I mean, what does it matter to LG? It's not like Google Assistant is their thing, right? It's a button that summons somebody else's thing. So let it summon any of somebody else's things. That would be nice. Angry Birds or whatever app you choose. Not Angry Birds. Angry Birds is so.
It's awesome. Like, what year is it? Yeah.
I know.
What year is this?
All right. So I guess we'll find out more about the ThinQ at the event on May 2nd. So last week we had Miriam Jouar on the show, and Miriam was very, very positive, very hyped up about the Huawei P20 Pro. And Ben, you've had this phone now. I'm not sure how long you've had it, but I imagine you've probably had it long enough to form a personal opinion on it. And I'm really just kind of curious to see if it pairs up with how Miriam was so positive about it. You've been playing with the P20. What do you think?
Yeah, I've been playing with the P20 Pro. I've got a P20 in the other room, but I haven't actually used it yet. The P20 Pro, I really, really like this phone, actually. My daily driver has been a Pixel 2 XL, and then I switched that for the S9 Plus when I got that in. Ever since then, I've been using the P20 Pro, and honestly, I have no desire to go anywhere else, and that's the most glowing review I can give to anything without...
Interface and all?
A couple thousand words. Actually, yeah, with the Mate 9... That's the one I always go back to. At that point, I was pretty much fine with Huawei software. It's still way heavier than I would like it to be, but I have no problem using it, and I don't have to disable things or change things to use it day by day.
That's fair enough.
I completely identify with the whole like highest praise when you review a lot of phones. The highest praise is, I'm not rushing to jump back to whatever phone I was using prior to this. If you're in no rush to go back, that usually means that it's a good phone, at least in my own experience. So,
especially when that other phone was a Pixel.
Yeah, right. Well, totally. Then that's high praise. And I mean, that pairs pretty closely with what Miriam was saying. Miriam was really, really into the camera aspects. Have you been using the camera very much?
I have as much as I can, but I've been pretty much confined to my apartment because of allergies. Oh, so I haven't done as much as she has. Wow. Yeah, allergies are really bad.
They're very tough.
Yeah.
Oh no, I have seasonal allergies that on days can be really bad. But man, not being able to leave because of it, that really sucks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but every shot I have taken with it so far, I've been very happy with.
Okay.
I will say, I know those Huawei phones have fun little like modes on them, so it's
like camera modes.
They actually let you do things like light trails and stuff, which I always appreciate because once in a while I just want to do a silly light trail. Mm-hmm. Instagram.
Well, once in a while. One of the things that really piqued my interest about this when Miriam was talking about the camera last week was this idea of these long exposures and how the camera can still itself. So if you're doing a long exposure and you're holding a phone, 5-second open exposure, I mean, that phone's going to jiggle all over the place that picture's going to look horrible. Apparently, this phone has a way of stabilizing that so that even with a five-second open exposure, if you're holding it in your hand, it still kind of evens out the motion and you end up with a usable and actually really great-looking low-light shot. And that's like, okay, bring that to my next phone. That sounds awesome.
That's very smart.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I want to test that out really badly.
Yeah.
Because that just looks fantastic.
Right on. So are you working on a review for 9to5 Google that'll post at some point?
Yeah, I'll probably sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Nice. Awesome. So everybody make sure to check 9to5
Google.com. What carrier are you using it on? I'm curious.
I am using it on an AT&T SIM card.
Okay. All right. I should really, anyway.
Get one.
Let's move on.
All right. Speaking of carriers, we got another email from Nathan who writes in and says, I'm not sure if this is newsworthy to you or not, as it isn't specific to Android, but as a Sprint customer who uses the Google Voice integration, this news kind of stinks. I mostly use Google Voice for voicemail transcripts to my email, but my favorite feature is the integration of my cellular number into Hangouts and being able to make and receive calls on a PC or through the Hangouts application on my Wi-Fi, only Nexus 7. With the integration, I only had one number and got all the benefits of Google Voice. Porting my number to Google Voice, then forwarding calls to a new cellular number seems like a hassle based on what I've heard from you guys on the show, especially for outgoing calls. And this is related to the recent news that Sprint is ending their Google Voice integration coming this June, which is very, very sad. And Sprint says that it's due to changes on the network, and you could still port your Sprint number back over to Google Voice and get a new number on Sprint to forward. And Sprint has stopped signing up new Sprint/voice users last year. So the writing was on the wall here, folks. This is a bummer because that's a really cool integration. And you got to imagine that they're killing it probably for a reason. And you got to wonder what's coming, what changes are happening on their network.
Yeah, I read that. Sprint says it's due to changes on the network. I'm like, yeah, the changes where you stop supporting Google Voice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's a bummer. It's also a bummer. I mean, Google is obviously paying attention to Google Voice. There's like renewed invigoration from Google's perspective in the app and stuff like that. So it's not like Google has completely forgotten about it the way Google often does with things. But, you know, maybe it was just a bridge too far that they didn't for such a long time. And Sprint's like, all right, cool. This isn't really doing anything for us. Let's move on. So that's a bummer.
Bummer.
Sorry.
Right. We'll apologize for Sprint. Yeah.
Well, because it's a bummer when something you have to change a routine that you've gotten into. I totally get it. I mean, if I had to take a different, you know.
All about Android. Apologizing for the carriers since 2012.
We'll say sorry because they don't. There you go.
2010. When did we start the show? 2011? Is that when we did it?
2010-ish.
It's been 7 years. Crazy.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, we've been able to do that because we have such wonderful sponsors. Let's take a moment to thank our next sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. And listen, if you ever bought a house, if you ever purchased property, you know that the mortgage experience was not keeping up with the times. It was dated and it needed a client-focused technological revolution. It needed to be disrupted. And that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. What's great is that Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button, and that makes it powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for you that you qualify for and find the one that's just right for you. I got to tell you, when I bought a house years ago, I wish I had Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. It would have made the process much, much easier and better. Because Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So to get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support and for making the mortgage process easier. Thanks, Rocket Mortgage.
Thank you, Rocket Mortgage. By the way, Patrick Delahanty posted in chat, I knew someone would, and of course it's Patrick, because he knows all this stuff on the back end. March 29th, 2011 was episode one. But we started doing our alpha episodes. I think it was still 2011. I think it was January of 2011 is when we started our alpha episodes. And those
Which
are
also
YouTube.
Means that also means that just about a month ago, we blew past our 7th anniversary. We need to pay attention to our anniversaries more.
The 7th anniversary? Seven. We didn't do anything? That's lucky number 7.
7's not a round
number. You know
number.
What? Actually, we should do something for 8, because that is a lucky number in Chinese culture.
Oh, okay.
All right. Cool.
Hmm. Okay.
I believe.
Sure. All right. We'll say happy birthday to us.
Let's put it in the calendar. March 24th.
This is a nice, right. It's a nice median number.
Yes, you do that, Ron, while right. We jump to apps. I don't know how you jump to apps, but we will.
It's a jump to apps, Matt.
Wait.
It has apps.
Hold on. Back to the number 8 thing. To. I'm sorry. Okay. What? Yes. Just kidding. Okay.
No, you're good.
I just wanted to make sure that I said the right thing, because I felt bad.
8 is the luckiest number in the Chinese.
Sorry, country. Let us continue with our show today.
All right. Hey, 2018 Google Play Award nominees have been announced. If you've been hurting because the your Google phone Oscars. Is lacking new apps that win awards or at least get nominated for them, well, you're in luck. Because many apps have now been nominated. Winners will be announced May 7th at Google I.O. As they usually do, they hold an event. They usually hold this event during some other really big thing that happens at Google I.O. And I feel like every year that happens where I'm like, oh, I'll totally go to that. And then I look at the schedule. And I'm like, yeah, but this thing's happening at the same time. Okay, I'm going to go there instead.
Oh,
which is kind of a bummer.
They were trying to make it be like the GDC. You know, GDC does like the they do a game awards every year.
Yeah,
and they always do it during the
big
the
thing.
Conference, and like it's like a whole award show where people get dressed up, and there's like it's like Golden Globe seating. It's a very big affair, and I would love to, frankly, see Google adapt that.
They should do it at Google I/O and not have it up against
Wouldn't
other things, and then
cool?
all the developers would be there to root each other on.
Wouldn't it be nice, like get dressed up, like come into town,
totally,
you know?
Wear
like
a tie.
Have a nice meal, maybe
you could wear a tie.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nominees. Some recognizable nominees that I think we've had on the show at one point or another. Fabulous. Headspace. Universal Copy. I think we've had Forest. Clash Royale. I'm not sure we've had that on, but that's a name that everybody recognizes. Mm-hmm. Astro. Ron, you've been the champion of Astro.
Big fan of Astro. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of stuff in here that we have yet to pillage for the Android App Arena.
I just want to say that I agree with the Standout Wellbeing app. But you know what? I'm going to take that offline.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later. Anyway.
I mean, there's 5 there.
Yes, but I'll. Well, sorry.
Okay. These awards things are never going to be satisfying. They never are. I mean, I'm sorry. It's good to see some stuff gets nominated and all this sort of stuff.
Hey,
but this is really
seriously as the Oscars. Okay, you know. Yeah. All right, I got to make sure Michelle Williams got her nomination. Okay.
Is there a Kardashian app? If so, it should be there.
Kardashians are not Oscar winners.
What I do find fascinating about these nominations and these stuff like that, what I would like us to do is that even though every week we have an arena where we have at least 3, if not 4 apps that we discuss, I'm always fascinated by there are apps that are nominated that we've never even talked about.
Yeah.
And maybe to coincide with this, maybe the show before this awards, we do an arena of just nominated apps. Or something like that. Because, Victor, if you go back to the list, if you get off me. Nobody wants to see my dumb face. But if you go back to the list and scroll up, I mean, aside from the games, I mean, I skip over the games, but like Carida, N26, Cardivo Drops, Canva. I don't know any of these apps.
Yeah, it is interesting, right? Like we're always scouring for apps to bring in. And
I mean, scroll up more, Victor. Let's look up more. But I mean, like, you know, this is emerging markets. Let's scroll up. That's fine. We can. There's a reason why I don't know about that one. But I think it's fascinating that the apps that are nominated by these are either no brainer ones like Pokemon Go, which we totally understand, and of course it's going to get nominated. That's fantastic. Or it's some app that we've just never heard of and never touched upon. You know.
Yeah.
I feel like Pokemon Go is like nominating Lord of the Rings for the Academy Awards. Like there's 3 movies.
Wasn't Pokemon Go longer than a year ago? I feel like Pokemon Go.
There are a couple of reprise, like Fabulous. Fabulous, didn't that win App of the Year in like 2016 or 2017?
Oh, it may have.
Something like that.
Okay, well.
Or I know it was at least a nominee before.
I mean, I guess we allow repeats in the arena.
Now we do. It's true. We set.
As long as it's been long enough. As long as there's a reason, yeah.
Shall we move on to more apps?
I think so.
Other apps that are of interest. So this is a fun one because, of course, in your real life, you've probably given directions by saying, turn left at the Krispy Kreme. Well, now Google Maps will do that for you. It got an update last week that will use landmarks in spoken directions when appropriate. So, you know, instead of turn right onto Clementi Street, you'll turn right after Room and Board on the right onto 7th. Wait, what is Room and Board? Is that like a...
Yeah, Room and Board. It's a
store.
Yeah, it's a what do they call those things? Those buildings that you walk into, brick and mortar.
Yes.
Okay. So it'll say turn right at the Burger King. That's what it'll say. Say turn right after the Burger King. You know, or pass by the McDonald's, or you know, there's a shoe sale at DSW. Who knows? Maybe one day it'll start doing that.
Yeah. I mean, as long as the sign's big enough.
There's a shoe sale at DSW. Pull over. It's on the right before your next turn.
Oh, so you're thinking.
All the ads.
Oh, you're taking it to the next level. How Maps like starts to like understand the stores that you actually might want to go to.
We know you pass by that Home Goods on your way to the grocery store wondering, should I go in and just see if they have any lamps on sale? And the answer is yes, Flo. You should always go in.
Oh, man, that sounds annoying. That's one of those things like, oh, but it's
not
doing
if it's
it
your
to,
happy place.
I guess so. I don't know.
All right.
Room and Board is not my happy place, neither is a shoe store. But if it was a video game arcade, sure.
Wow. Shall we move on?
Yep.
All right. So you might, if you're a Chrome user, you might recognize that red screen that you get in Chrome when navigating a page that might be harmful or as evidence of some sort of malware or phishing attempts or something like that. That's called safe browsing. And safe browsing is now being added to the web view, which is what other apps use to integrate web content by default. So we're going to get safe browsing integrated into Android apps with this. Developers don't need to activate this. It'll be active by default. And help people get back to safety. So there you go. Google, safe browsing, protecting you even in your integrated apps using the web view.
That's awesome.
Yeah, let's be honest. There wasn't a whole lot of app news outside of the material design stuff. We figured out a couple of things, sure. Unless we missed something, because I feel like a lot of the good app news we had at the top lock, and it was all 9 to 5 Google stuff about material design. Did we miss anything important? Did anything earth-shattering happen?
Nothing's popping to the top of my head right away.
Then I think we've done what we need to do.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Okay, so last week you may remember that Ron brought an app to the arena called Exodus Privacy, and John...
Before you get into this, whenever someone writes in and we include an email about an app one of us brought to the arena, my heart always sinks.
Mm. Oh, really?
Because my fear is that someone downloaded it, like, well, that app, yeah. So anyway, I just want to preface that, but I'm glad this doesn't go in that direction. When I started reading it, I got worried.
Okay, I'm sorry. I should give you a heads up. Yeah. I apologize. Yes. No, I know exactly what you mean. When we bring an app and then, like, you know, we end up getting emails from, like, 5 different people that are like, did you know that they're harvesting data and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, no, what did I do? That is not the case with Exodus Privacy, a privacy app, by the way. So thankfully, that's not the case. John wrote in to say, I downloaded Exodus Privacy after listening to the arena this week. It was horrified at the access my current apps have. Example being when looking at Action Launcher permissions, which I use as my default launcher, I noticed it has access to read my contacts, text messages, and many more. Why would Action Launcher need access to my contacts, text messages? And is there any way I can easily restrict access to those permissions detailed by Exodus Privacy's app and still allow Action Launcher to continue fully functioning? A real benefit to the user would be if those apps that do not share data with other third parties are coded in some way, so it's very clear before downloading which apps share data with third parties and which do not. I won't I won't deny that last part at all. More clarity would absolutely be good. My guess is Action Launcher, and I'm, you know, right or wrong. So that's what it comes down to, is that permissions are all about your own interpretation and what you feel comfortable with. My guess is that Action Launcher requests access for contacts because within the launcher, it probably surfaces your contacts for quick access. So if contacts is really important to you and you want to have a page of Action Launcher that is your recent contacts, the only way they can surface those images and allow you to have one tap access to them is for you to grant access to the app for your contacts. Text messages might be the same way. It's a launcher, so it's very possible that there's like a widget or some sort of integrated functionality that will save you the tap of going into the app to see your text message come through. Instead, it's embedded in the launcher. So that's my guess. Again, it's up to you. Do you feel comfortable with an app having that permission in order to do that thing? And if you don't, then choose not to. You can go into the settings on a per app basis and you can turn off those things. And it may break the functionality of the app in a certain way, though. That's the kind of downside of that. So
Can I go off script for a moment? Yep. And it's tangentially related to this, not really tied to permissions, but kind of. So my sister, who I've mentioned before on the show in the past, who I have set up currently within HTC, what's the latest, the 10, M10?
M9? M10, I believe.
U11?
Oh, is it the not U11. The one, so M10. Okay. She's on the M10. Okay.
Yeah,
so she's on the M10 on Verizon. And she finally got Android 8.0 Oreo. And she texted me and she says, I need your help. I need IT help. I got the new version of Android and I hate it. And I said, what's the matter? And she says, it keeps giving me a notification of apps running in the background. Let that sit in for a moment. Mm-hmm. So you know how Oreo has the notification that says app is running in the background?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't care what the apps are doing in the background. It's giving me a notification. I have to swipe it away every time it does it. It's driving me crazy.
So
there's education there, right?
Breathe, right? So I dug into it, and what I found out was that she uses an app that allows her kids' cell phones and her husband's cell phone to check in. So it's basically Find My Friends. You know, it's called Life 360, or it's the one she uses is Find My Contacts or something like that. And it's basically like you can look on a map and you see where everyone is. Now, in order to do that, it phones home every 15 minutes. Every time it phones home, it triggers the background notification thing. So she knows that it's working in the background. She's fine with it. Whatever battery drain is happening because of it is not a problem, but the constant letting her know that it's happening is driving her crazy.
Right.
Android 8.0.1 allows you to disable that notification, but 8.0 doesn't.
Huh. Okay.
So that's what I learned this weekend.
So when you explain, Ben, go.
No, I vaguely remember an app that let you disable that. I can't remember.
I saw last year. I saw some mentioning of it, but I didn't want to go too deep with installing stuff like that, especially if she's going to get 8.1 at some point. But I guess it took her this long to get 8.0, so who knows when she'll get 8.01. So
let's see.
Yeah, I just found it. It's literally just called hide running in the background notification.
Wait a minute, that makes too much sense.
I don't know if it works on. I don't know if it'll work on HTC, but I remember using this last year. The preview came out.
Yep.
It is called hide quote. Running in the background, end quote, notification.
Listen, just put it out there. That's how you get your app some traction in the Play Store, okay?
Here, I'll put that link in the show notes, twit.tv/AAA if you want to find it on the Play Store. But just do a search for
that.
That's
too funny.
Hide running in the background notification and you'll find it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would not be necessary with the latest version of Oreo is what you're saying.
Right? I just thought it was very funny because I feel like that notification is something that we're all like, how great is this? They're telling us what's running in the background. And you go to an average user who's annoyed by it, right?
Yes.
Like, so, yep.
So when you explained to her what it was and why it did that, like how did she take that?
She says, I don't care.
I don't care.
I know it's running.
Okay.
It wasn't revealing some app that she knew that was running out of control. It was one that she installed and accepted. It was not, you know, like it was not causing a problem. Huh. So I had to take 5 minutes and kind of walk away and laugh and then come back. And then, so, I'll try this app with her. We'll see if that works. And then, hopefully that will deal with the issue.
That's pretty funny.
it's funny too, is we just muse about how Google tries to find a nice balance between its very diehard fans,
yeah,
like us,
right,
and the average user.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do we make everybody happy?
Well, and Android's so configurable, and you know, there's always a solution to do that thing that almost always a solution to do that thing, whether
more
Google wants you to do that thing or not. There's an app that allows you to do it. So I guess you have the ability to undo it if you like. But
yeah,
we all use our devices differently. So that's what that's all about, I think. Yeah. All right. It's time for a new arena. Make some new history.
Only one lives. Android Arena.
Checking in on last week's poll. Wow, this was a close race.
It was close.
365. Yep. Torque wins. This was Miriam's app, 35% of the vote. Exodus Privacy, 33% of the vote. And Radio with 31% of the vote.
That's a great split. That's very close. Yeah. Very good. So Wade County, who's normally in the chat room but is out today, he did drop in to give me the standings in advance. So after 16 weeks in the arena with Miriam's win, that brings the guest back to first place with 46 points. I'm in second place with 45 points. Jason, you're in third with 34 points. And Flo, who wasn't here last week, pays the price. She's in last with 32 points.
I pay the price.
You pay the price. But you don't pay the ultimate price. I do, because I have to go first because I lost. And I'm going to say...
You're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think so, too. I saw that. I went, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we got criticized for not even having it on the show. And it's true.
It's a really great game. It's time. It's now.
It's a really
this
great game.
This is your
game.
Time to shine.
Is it? See, mm-hmm. because I missed the PUBG thing on a console. I don't have a console. My game is PUBG Mobile. And I'm doing this because there was an emailer a couple of weeks ago that totally, like, I felt shame after that email have it on there.
We should know our audience.
Oh, no. Why am I in my underwear? Anyways, PUBG Mobile. It's a game. It's a game where you basically...
Hit people in your underwear.
Yeah, you run around. I mean, it's a multiplayer game. I think there's like at any point there's like 100 people playing at any given point. And I mean, you know, this is on console, but it's also on mobile. And like, I know I'm gonna like slaughter. What is the terminology for this style of game that a bunch of them are coming out with? This just the massive amounts
Battle
of people.
Royale.
Battle Royale. Thank you, Ben. You should really have this game instead of me because I'm a loser with this game. But. But anyways, it's a battle royale type game, and I'm not going to be able to show you very much because apparently I'm in this plane. It takes a really long time to touch down, but you've got this huge map, and basically 100 people spread out on the map. You have to run around. You have to find them. You pick up, you know, weapons, ammo, fight with melee weapons, you know, find first aid kits to restore your energy, and eventually you're the last man standing. And I played it earlier today. I'm really not going to show very much of it because it's pointless. It's going to take me a really long time to land on the ground and find anybody. But I played it earlier today expecting to be like, okay, yeah, whatever. It's a mobile game. It feels like it's an awesome game. Like it's actually a lot of fun to run around and find, you know, find people. And I don't know. It's a little violent, but it's also a lot of fun. I do notice that there's little glitching that I experience from time to time. And it could just be my inability to play it. But I know there are many people probably yelling at their screens right now going, gosh, you do a horrible job selling this game. And maybe that's the point. I probably don't need to sell PUBG Mobile because I think anybody who's gaming in this day and age probably knows exactly what it is. And I just think that it's interesting that a game of this caliber actually exists on mobile. And
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, it's an impressive feat, I would
Welcome
say.
Welcome to the future. We're here.
There's a lot of glitching going on. I'm not going to lie. It looks really glitchy right now.
We still got to work on the future.
Anyways, you know, you scroll with the right hand to tilt around, run with your left hand. If you press really far up, you go into a run as opposed to kind of a slow crawl. You can do your crouches and all this kind of stuff, jump. If I had a gun, which if I went into this house, I could probably find some ammo and stuff, and that'll give me some extra stuff to work with. But there's also this big cloud, this like blue energy cloud that surrounds the map, and you're contained within this area. And if you go outside of it, it's like a chemical thing that will kill you. So you're forced to be in the same area with everyone else. And so far there's 100 alive, but soon that'll start going down. And this is all multiplayer live, so you're playing with real people, and it's just cool that this exists on mobile, and that's the primary reason why I wanted to bring it into the arena, even though I'm horrible at showing it off. It's called PUBG Mobile, and if I haven't told you about it, if I'm the first person to tell you about it, I'm really surprised. But you should check it out, because it's fun, and it's free, which is kind of mind-blowing. I don't feel like it hits you over the head with all of these, requirements of paying in the app. It's perfectly fine and fun to me. Completely free. So check it out. It's a good game, and you will have fun playing it. All right. So Ron, you are the returning winner. I guess that means that you go last. Mm-hmm. Flo, you are up next. What you got?
Okay. So I am trying to, be better about not procrastinating and, getting work done. So I looked for an app. I looked for an app to help me do that. And now this isn't just... So first, I have to apologize for my nails, by the way, because I haven't done it in a while, and they're a little bad today. They're very chipped, and just they need help. Anyway, so this app is called A New Day. Procrastinate No More is the name that you'll find in the Google Play Store, but on your launcher, it'll be called A New Day. So it's not like a really pretty, it's a very bare bones like app, but what is really useful about it is its utility and how it helps people like me who often think about everything all at once all the time to kind of get your thoughts in an organized manner so that you can just sit down and do the darn three tasks that you need to get done before 11 a.m. Right? Right. Because that's how...
Yep.
That's my daily life. So the thing you do is you enter in the task that you would like to start. My task is going to be dance. And then from there, you're going to go down a series of questions. So if you need help getting started, you could say, yes, I need a little motivation, and we'll go down that. Or you could say, no, I've got this, and then it'll just take you straight to the task, and it'll start a countdown. When it alerts, the alarm is just, it buzzes for a very consistent amount of time, like 15 or 30 seconds. So if you say you do, you answer like how you feel about the task, kind of helps you like get your thoughts into order. You can save your thoughts. You can see like what thoughts are coming up when you keep sitting down for this task. So it's very much just like a helpful tool for kind of understanding where like your procrastination is coming from and helping you achieve the task at hand, even though you've got all this stuff going on. And it also helps you like create alternative positive thoughts. It does a little breathing thing with you where it'll kind of like breathe out and breathe in, so you can just kind of get into the zone of working.
Oh, that's a cool
and
animation.
Really,
that's like your breathe out, breathe in.
Yes,
animation.
Cool. I just love the relative simplicity of this app, but like what an absolute utility it is of just to help me like be able to lay it all out. Like this is the stuff I'm worrying about this morning, but like I can't get into it because I gotta get some work in to my editors. Not going to get paid. And then when you're ready to start the task, you enter in your subtasks. So whatever, I'm just going to put in a TK. A couple subtasks. There we go. All right, we're going to get that started. Whatever's going on. We'll go to the next step, choose your time, and then you just go do your work.
Do it.
You just do it.
Nice.
That's it. It's very simple. Extremely simple, but extremely effective.
Awesome. It's called New Day.
New Day.
Procrastinate no more. except Logan 5 recommends procrastinating later. If you can just put off the procrastination for another time, that would be helpful.
Can
you procrastinate the procrastinating?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's the only procrastination,
right?
That's good is putting off the procrastinating. All right. So, Ben, I have your app installed, but as you pointed out, kind of as we were prepping for the show, it requires a lot of access to financial stuff. So we're going to rely on the Play Store shots, if that's okay. I can't really show it off with my own accounts, but go ahead and talk about Digit and tell us what you like about it.
Yeah, so Digit is an app that it saves money automatically by attaching to your bank account. I've been using it for over a year at this point.
Oh, wow.
What it does is it attaches to your bank account, it tracks your income and your spending, and it automatically drafts money based on your habits so you can afford it. So basically, it knows what you can afford to save, and it'll put that away. You can set it up to save for specific goals or just to put into a random fund. Like, I have one that's saving just for, you know, whenever you need it. You know, one that's saving up for, you know, like maybe a gift for somebody or something like that. You don't have to do anything once it's set up. You just attach your bank account and let it run wild. You can also manually save if you want, like you can see on one of those screenshots. It automatically puts the money into an FDIC insured account, so it's safe and you can take it out anytime you want for free. It's free for the first 100 days and then you pay $2.99 a month. And actually, just today, as I was putting together my notes about it, they announced a new feature called Digit Pay, which you can set up to have the app save, put money away that you would otherwise just save. It would put it away to automatically paying off a credit card, which I think is ridiculously cool.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, it's free for the first 100 days. It's $2.99 a month. It's available on Android and iOS, and you can actually use it just through text, too, if you want. But I think it's a really cool app.
That's awesome. Removing the thought and intention behind saving and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's definitely a theme. I've seen different apps tackle it from different, you know, directions. And I think that's super effective, right? Like, if you don't have to think about it and it just happens and it happens responsibly, right? Like, you don't want to just take it out $100 and maybe you don't have the money to cover it, but it sounds like it's kind of analyzing what you have and making a safe determination. Have you found that determination to be kind of within the realm of acceptability with what you happen to have in an account?
Yeah. When you first start using it, it spends a couple of weeks tracking your income to make sure, like, I'm not going to take out this much on payday, but it will look at it and say, okay, I can take, you know, a couple bucks here, a few cents here, and then throw it in based on what you make. It depends on how it's more effective depending on how you get paid. Like, if you get paid weekly, this works really, really well. If you get paid like I do, where you get paid at the beginning of the month and the end of the month, it doesn't work as well, but it still works really. It still does. It takes all the guesswork and the planning out of saving money, because you can just let it run and then look and it's like, oh, there's a couple hundred bucks I didn't know I had.
Yeah. Oh, not bad. Right on. It's called Digit. And it's free to check it out. And then what did you say, $2.99 a month?
Yes.
Awesome. Cool. Great pick. Love it. Digit. And then finally, Ron, I have your app installed.
Was it easy to demo or?
No, I said I haven't played with it. I've got it installed and I opened it and then I got confused. And so I thought
we might need to show the video on the Google Play Store. So my app, sometimes you see one that's neat and it's applying a new technology and it might not be for everybody, but it's worth calling out. This is called Cam to Plan and it's a $3.99 app, which is a little expensive, but it uses AR Core. And what it allows you to do is use the augmented reality core in Android now to measure the size of a room. We see Jason's arm doing this, but so basically, if we play the video, you can see it. You use your phone's camera and it moves it along and it detects the edges and will map out an entire room, and then it will export that map to a file that you can use to design. So if you're a contractor, if you're doing home improvement work, or you're trying to, you know, figure out where furniture can fit and all the measurements, I can't tell you the number of times I've gone around my apartment with a 10-foot tape measure trying to measure the entire thing to know if a couch will fit or not or something like that. This gets ridiculously, crazily useful. And it's also really neat. So Cam to Plan. If you need to use your phone as a measuring mapping device, there you go. So
Yeah, it looks like I needed to spend a little time like figuring out the floor and so, oh yeah, I was able to, okay. It's hard to see
it's hard to see it.
Apparently, I don't know if my shot will show it, Victor. I can try and hold it in the shot.
Oh yeah, kind of.
Yeah, look at that. Cool.
But I don't know how much you're actually going to see out of that. But basically, I'm able to drop two flags. You can kind of see the two flags. And it's showing that between this flag and that flag, I'm about 7 to 8 feet of distance to that back wall. So kind of hard to show as this AR stuff is. If I had a camera right over my shoulder, it would be easy to do.
Yeah. So they say there is a percentage deviation of error. They say the measurement error is generally to the order of 2%. And it's based on the conditions in your apartment, good lighting, textured floor, lack of reflection, etc. But you know, apps like this have to lay the groundwork before AR is adopted widespread, you know, in this way. And as Jason's doing it there, you can see you're manually dropping flags, right? Or is it picking those up?
Yeah, no, I'm manually dropping them.
Yeah. So there's a button there where you can drop a flag automatically. And measure the distance from a marker. It's really cool, though.
So
cam to plan, $3.99 in the Google Play Store. If you're a contractor or you do a lot of home improvement stuff or doing anything that requires measurement or things like this, it is it's worth checking out.
So. Nice. Right on. Good pick. I feel like if I had an open room and not all these obstacles, I'd get better results out of it. Very cool stuff. I love seeing AR core stuff happening. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and post this poll. Then I'm going to create a URL for it, which I have not done yet. But just give me a second. Oh, yeah, it's very exciting. I'm going to hit that
button. This is the mechanism how people can vote. You see, there's all these pieces have to fall into place in order for you, the listening audience, to be able to vote on your favorite app.
Boom. Right, thank you for vamping. We got there. twit.to/AAApoll366. Ron, you know me so well.
I do.
twit.to/AAApoll366. You can place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it PUBG Mobile? Is it New Day, Digit, or Cam 2 Plan? Place your vote. We'll check in on it next
Cam
week.
Cam 2 Plan.
Victor is hovering and goes with Digit. Victor goes with the AR core.
Hey, Victor's...
Or no, sorry, with the finance, with the savings. Do you use an app similar to this, like for savings, anything like this, Victor?
No, this makes me think I do need to.
But you will. Yeah. Excellent. You can thank Ben for all the money that you save.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
And we will thank Ben for joining us today. Ben, it was a lot of fun having you on. Ben Schoen with 9to5google.com. Leading up to Google I.O., I have to imagine you guys are just like all like super focused. Hopefully you're getting lots of leads and people familiar with the matter to write fun stuff up.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a fun week. I'm looking forward to it.
Right on. Everybody can follow Ben's work at 9to5google.com. Are you on Twitter? Is there anywhere else that you want people to follow you if they want to get in touch?
You can follow me on Twitter at NexusBen.
NexusBen. That makes sense. Awesome, Ben. Thank you for joining us. We'll have you back soon. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Flo, what you up to? As if I never ask you this.
No, I know. I'm working. I work. It's good. It's great. I'm really happy I'm working.
I don't know if you're telling the truth. I can't tell.
Listen, in this economy, but in all honesty, I am working on a bunch of stuff. I never know what to say because a lot of it just goes. But to keep up with me, you can just go to florenceion.com, my website, which I like updated, and I put a blog and everything up, and I did it.
You did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I wasn't here last week, so I didn't tell you guys is that I put up my blog two weeks ago.
And you've got upcoming events on there?
Yes, which is just Google I.O. But, yeah, so I'm just playing around with some stuff right now. I'm playing around with some content ideas. I'm just kind of playing around and seeing what happens. So this is where I'll be blogging about stuff that I am not getting paid for. Which means if it's not updated that often, I'm really sorry, but, you know.
In the hopes that you will get paid
for it. I gotta pay. Stop.
Yeah, right on. Cool. Well, it's been a journey watching your website get updated.
I'm finally there. Finally figuring out what's going on, which is good. So I'm very happy to just have, like, a website
that
I like looking at. Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
WordPress, which is also... sponsor.
There it is.
Looks great. Fantastic, Flo. Thank you. Ron, what about you?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RonXO. And Flo, your website now has me looking at CMS systems.
Oh, by the way, because of you, Ron, I upgraded it. So,
good.
Just want you to know.
Because that talk you gave me. Good. I'm glad that helped. Anyway, so follow me on Twitter and Instagram, RonXO. I was hoping to have something fun and exciting to talk about this week, but I got delayed a little bit. But don't worry. Hopefully next week I'll have stuff to talk about.
So
I know. I keep teasing you guys. Really... I feel bad. But it's all the announcement is all set. The email is ready. The post is ready. Like, everything is ready. We're just waiting on one thing to fall into place. So it'll happen.
Well, I can't wait to hear.
It'll be worth it and very interesting to a small number of people.
Awesome. Well, we'll check next week and hopefully we can hear more about that. Victor, thank you, first of all, for all that you do with the show. We appreciate it.
No problem.
And I also wanted to tell you something. Peter wrote in to say that 316 is in reference to Stone Cold Steve Austin. He said, quote, Austin 316 says, I just kicked your A double dollar signs. He didn't say A double dollar signs, though, but you can do the math. After he won his match at King of the Ring 1996. Is that what your joke meant?
Yes.
Excellent.
We
got there. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Victor.
Thanks, Peter.
You're not making me seem crazy. Show.
It was real.
Yes, exactly. After the show, you explained it to me. I was like, I know somebody's going to get it, and they're going to email it to us so that we know. So anyways, thank you, Victor. Appreciate it. You can find me at yellowgoldmusic.com. There, actually, I just updated it with a link. I didn't know you could do this on Spotify. You can pre-order on Spotify. So
That's so cool.
Yeah, or pre-ad.
Pre-ad.
It's like a pre-ad
to your
library.
But you can't listen to it until it goes live.
Right.
Okay.
So May 17th, the Fever Dreamer album will hit Spotify and a bunch of other places. But there's a link at yellowgoldmusic.com. If you're on Spotify, you can, like, add it now, and then it'll just appear for you. You don't even have to think about it when it releases. That would be really cool, I think, if you did
that.
We
should pass out. Nah, never mind.
Nah, we don't need to pass out anything.
But I know, I was just like, wait. No, Jason's going to be like, nah.
And by the way, if you want to buy some All About Android shirts, they are back on the store. There was a glitch or something, and they disappeared, but they are back. twit.tv/store, and you can find some All About Android swag. And maybe wear it when you're giving a talk like Matteo Doni did.
In Dubai.
In Dubai, yes. It was a pretty awesome.
How far can you rep All About Android?
Yeah, we want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So go to twit.tv/store and find your All About Android.
In varying styles.
Swag. I'm sure. Yeah, JJ, there is an All About Android iPhone case. Hey, what are you going to do? There are lots of iPhones in this world.
Okay, but if you are an iPhone user and you buy that case for your iPhone, please send us a photo.
Yes.
And
I want to know who you are.
Immediately displayed on the air.
Send us a photo.
We want to know who you are.
Yeah, send us a photo of who you are. That's what we want
to
know. Who are you?
If you don't feel comfortable, it's fine. You don't have to. But I would like to see the case.
Yes.
On the iPhone.
All right. And that is it. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. We'll put those in the show. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. We have our Arena apps list at twit.to/Android apps if you want to see a full list of every app we've ever had on the show. Show notes and past episodes can be found at our home on the web. It's twit.tv/AAA, or you can catch us live. If you go to twit.tv/live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific, we're starting on time now. We mostly...
2 years later.
Yes, many years later, really. You can go to twit.tv/live and watch us live. That is it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody. Woohoo! Oreo cookies.
Oh, yay, we're still doing that.
Yeah, we're still doing that. We've got a whole new stream of cookie ammo.
New crop.
And this time is no different.
Oh, this one looks yummy.
Filled cupcake Oreo. Because I'm
really excited.
Filled cupcake Oreo. They went with the generic version of this. I don't think
they could say.
What is that? What is the filled cupcake? It's a hostess.
It's the hostess.
Treat.
Like hostess. Yeah.
The hostess cupcake with the swirls on the top.
What was that called, though?
The cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
They were just hostess cupcakes.
They're just literally hostess cupcakes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh my god, they used to come in a pack of three. Ah! Ow! Wait, smell them. It's like a wine.
It smells like a package of cookies.
Wow. All right. Where's your sense of adventure?
At this point, I'm just eating so many of these dang things. It's hard to.
I'm so jealous of this thing.
They smell like fake chocolate.
Okay, I'll
wait. Okay, so wait. So it's a chocolate cookie. Is it covered?
It's filled cupcake Oreo. Chocolate Oreo. Cookie. All right. It says twist and lick, so it encourages you.
It says twist and lick?
That's what it says.
It's got a double flavor interior.
It's enlarged to show detail, but actually it's not really enlarged. I'd say
it's
that's
not
about
lickable.
The same size.
It's not lickable.
Okay.
It's already false advertising.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not lickable whatsoever. You at least got a little uptick in yours. I've got nothing.
It's an uptick. All right.
A little alfalfa sprout.
There we go. This is the major one. I'm going to tell you why it's not, while you're eating it and coming up with your rating, I'm going to tell you why it's not lickable. Because this came out in February 2016.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
hold the phone. Let's check the expiration date on these. I'm happy we didn't check beforehand. Because I did get these on eBay, by the way. This whole batch of cookies that I've gotten the next 2 months are all eBay scores.
So, and they're going to be questionable.
Entirely possible these have expired.
Okay.
What does it mean when there's no expiration date?
They do taste a tiny bit stale. Maybe.
I got to say, I really like them.
Yeah, they're really good. Delicious. Maybe it's not stale. Maybe they're supposed to taste cupcakey, like soft like that.
I don't think
Oreos expire. They're vegan.
They don't expire.
They're vegan. They have no animal product in them.
Yeah, there's
Oreos. Here we go. According to eatbydate.com, Oreos last for at least 2 to 3 weeks beyond their best buy date. So there should be a best buy date on there.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for. I really feel like I could find it.
Is it imprinted in the plastic?
That's what I was thinking, but I feel like I'm looking everywhere, and it's not even.
Well, no matter what, it says unopened Oreos past the printed date 2 to 3 weeks. So no matter what, you're out of that range.
Whatever, those were delicious.
If these are 2016. We're out of the range.
You know what? I don't care.
They're good.
I don't care. They were good.
They're really good.
They're super good.
They should bring these back and make them a permanent flavor.
And it's not like we ate spoiled meat, so we'll be fine.
All right, let's hear your ratings. Ratings. Filled cupcake ratings.
Go ahead and take it, Padre.
Ratings.
Oh, it's up there. 9.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really good.
Even with the staleness, it's a 9 or whatever.
Well, the staleness gives it a nice.
It
kind
does.
Of
it gives it a soft,
mushy, soft.
Uh huh. I agree. It really adds. To the
it's
experience.
Almost mushy like a cupcake.
Man,
maybe not quite.
We've
actually,
gotten really good at this, by the way.
We are.
We've gotten really good at this.
I'm really happy that we're chronicling all flavors.
I can't wait till we find out what pee is, and you got to eat that.
Android P. Yeah.
I'm actually okay with this, by the way, because I'm very hungry when I come here.
There's a whole army of people in here, all engineers and Padre.
Did you
and
check multiple
web design?
Oh, I thought you were eating like a stack of them, and I was like, "Go Burke!"
All right, that's really good, you guys. Even though they're expired, if you can find them, eat them. You will enjoy it.
Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, sorry we didn't send you a package of expired Oreos.
Sorry.
That's fine.
Next time we'll find those expired Oreos and send them your way.
Yeah.
And, I feel like for your first appearance, if we had done that, you might be a little offended. Be like, why are you doing this?
I can't wait to see what P is because I'm really happy about us eating now before the show. It really helps sustain me through the next hour and a half.